The following message is brought to you by MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church. We are many stories made one family by one gospel. If you would like to connect with us, please check out our website at MacArthurBoulevard.org.
As you're seated, I'm going to give you just a little bit of an idea of where we're going this morning. As we've been in this mini-series called A Life on Mission, we're bringing that series, getting ready to bring that series to a close. We got this Sunday and one more Sunday where we're going to be looking at A Life on Mission together. We've been going through the book of Acts through this year. We're going to get back into Acts early next year and continue that journey. But this morning is not going to be an exposition of a text like I typically do on a Sunday morning. It's going to be a different type of message. As I want us as a church family to spend this morning talking about a vision for church planting. What it means to be a church that is intentionally focused on planting new churches in other locations. Farmers in the state of Oklahoma in the late 1930s faced an excruciating decision. In 1931, drought had hit the state of Oklahoma, and there had been some poor farming practices that had left the fields of Oklahoma very dry and barren. And so between the drought and between the poor farming practices, the result of all of that was what came to be known as the Dust Bowl. These dry, dusty fields gave way to these massive dust storms that would sweep through the plains of Oklahoma and destroy any of the remaining vegetation that may have otherwise been left. And so come 1939, at the end of the decade, farmers had a decision to make. You see, many of them had just enough seeds such that they could take those remaining seeds and grind them into flour and produce sustenance for their family to feed their family for another year, but probably not enough for much more than that. Or they could take those remaining seeds and plant them into the ground and pray that God would send rain such that they might see a harvest that would sustain their families in the years to come. And in 1939, many of the Oklahoman farmers made what had to have been the excruciating decision to take the little bit of seed that they had remaining, and they planted that seed into the ground, praying that God would send rain. And in the autumn of 1939, God sent rain on the grounds of Oklahoma, and the seed produced an incredible crop. Planting always requires risk. Because when you plant, you release control of a seed in hopes that by planting it, it will produce something much greater. The seeds that you plant, you can no longer consume for yourself, and yet without planting the seeds, there can be no harvest. Of course, Jesus loved the illustrations of seeds and planting and harvesting to describe his kingdom. These images permeate his parables to teach us how God advances his kingdom. And one of these teachings comes to us in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Now, we're going to kind of bounce around to a few different texts this morning. You can bounce around with us in your Bible, or we're going to put them on the screen for you as well. You can do it that way. But in John chapter 12, in verse 24, Jesus looked at his disciples and he was giving them this image of a seed. He says, "Truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit." You see, one seed can actually produce hundreds of seeds by being planted in the ground, and that seed gives life to a stalk, and that stalk containing hundreds of other seeds. One seed can produce hundreds of other seeds, an incredible fruit from even one seed. And of course, Jesus was using this illustration in this instance as it related to his own life. Jesus released control of his life into the hands of the Father, allowing himself to be planted into the ground, referring to his death, that he gave his life up to be planted so that from that seed being planted into the ground, there came an incredible harvest that sprang up unto eternal life, right, for the people of God. And then Jesus, in the very next verse, he applies this same concept to our lives. Our lives are like a seed. And if we insist on holding on to that seed, keeping control of our lives for ourselves, refusing to die to ourselves and give our lives to Christ, that seed will never produce anything amounting to spiritual life or fruitfulness. But if we will release control of our lives and give our lives over to God and into the hands of Christ, then God will produce through us fruit, namely the fruit of eternal life. Church, this is a kingdom principle that applies to not just our lives in total, but it applies to every blessing that God has given us. I want you to think of every blessing that you have been given by God, every dollar, every relationship, every gift, every opportunity. All of these blessings are like little seeds that you can either hold on to and keep for yourselves and consume for yourselves, or you can release control of those blessings, giving them to God and planting them for the sake of the kingdom. These stewardship decisions are decisions not only that apply to individuals, but they apply to entire churches. Churches face the same decision because every blessing that God has given our church, every leader, every person, every resource, every asset, those blessings are like little seeds that we as a church family can either hold on to with a closed fist and say we're going to consume these blessings for ourselves, or we can die to ourselves and hold those blessings with an open hand, planting them into the fields that are white and the harvest, releasing them into the hands of God, and see what type of harvest God may be pleased to produce through our seeds planted in faith. The kingdom principle that Jesus gives us in these parables is that God grows his kingdom only as we take our hands off the little portion that he has given to us and plant it for the sake of the harvest. It's true that planting can be very scary. And yet, when the farmer plants his seed, trusting God for rain, he ends up with a harvest far greater than the seed that he gave up. So this morning, I want us to talk as a family. I want us to talk about an opportunity that we have as a church to multiply our kingdom impact by becoming a church that is more intentionally focused on planting new churches in the days and years ahead than we've ever been before. Of course, we've been kind of alluding and passing to this concept of church planting over the course of this past year. I want to focus in on it more intentionally this morning, and my goal this morning is to answer two kind of big picture questions as it relates to church planting and our church planting vision. I want to answer the what question, what is it, right? I want to clarify for us what it is exactly that we're talking about. We're talking about being a church intentionally focused on planting new churches, all right? And then I want to answer and even spend more time on the why question. Why is this a conversation that we need to be having and continuing to have in the days and years ahead? The what and the why. But let's begin by clarifying the what. What is it that we're talking about when we talk about a vision for church planting at MacArthur Boulevard? Well, we would define our church planting vision like this, and you can go ahead and put this up on the screen. We want to be a church that develops, deploys, and supports church planting teams who make disciples, resulting in healthy, autonomous, self-sustaining churches wherever God leads. All right, let me just kind of unpack that definition for us here this morning. First of all, it says that we want to be a church that develops, and supports church planting teams. Notice that we're not limiting this to being only a church that sends out individual planters, right? We want to send out church planters, but we recognize that the task of church planting requires a team. And this means, of course, that even though you may look at your own life and kind of where God has you right now, and you may say, listen, I don't know that God is calling me to be a church planter, to go out somewhere and to plant a new church. That may be fine, but God very well may be leading you in the years ahead to be a part of a team that is sent out to establish a church in a new region or location. We're saying that we want to develop these teams, deploy these teams, and support these teams. Development, of course, includes both discerning and assessing who the Spirit may be raising up to be sent out for an effort like this, or who the Spirit may be bringing us from the outside to raise up and deploy out for a work like this. And then, of course, not just discerning and assessing, but also training them for that task. We want to develop these teams. We want to deploy, send these teams out. But then we don't just send them out and then let them, you know, just kind of fare on their own and by themselves, take our hands off them. We want to come alongside and continue to support them in this assignment that God has called them to. And what is the aim of these teams that are being sent out? Well, their aim is to be those who make disciples, right? In other words, our goal is not simply to be a church that starts new churches by transferring Christians around from one church or multiple churches to a new church. Our goal is to make disciples. Our goal is to engage lost people and to engage them with the gospel that we might lead them to Christ and make disciples, and within that disciple-making assignment, gather them into a local body called a church. And we want to plant, and we said we want to, this disciple-making then results in these new churches being planted that are healthy and autonomous and self-sustaining. In other words, we want to plant healthy churches, not dysfunctional churches or anemic churches or glorified Bible studies that we call churches. We want to plant healthy, bona fide churches that are autonomous. What we mean by that is we're not simply moving a portion of our church that we still ultimately control to a new location. Instead, we are actually establishing new churches who, under the authority of Christ, govern themselves as a local body in and of themselves. And we want these churches ultimately to be self-sustaining long-term, meaning that they're not dependent upon MacArthur Boulevard for their long-term viability, but because of God's blessing operating through God's people, they are healthy, autonomous, and self-sustaining churches. And we want to plant these churches, listen, wherever God may lead. And what we mean by that phrase is that we don't want to limit this vision to only a specific location. We're only going to plant churches here or here. We want to be open to however the Spirit may lead. We want to be open to the Spirit's leadership, not only in who he may set apart to be sent out like he does in Acts chapter 13 with Barnabas and Saul, but we also want to be open to the Spirit's leadership and where he might send those teams to do this disciple-making work within various locations. And so it's possible that in the coming years that the Spirit of God might lead our church to send out teams to establish new churches in other countries overseas. He could send us out into other states all over America. He might send portions of our church out into other parts of Texas, other parts of the Metroplex, other parts of Irving. Wherever the Spirit leads, we want to follow him as we are a church that sends church planting teams, to be a church that develops, deploys, and supports church planting teams who make disciples, resulting in healthy, autonomous, self-sustaining churches wherever God leads. Now, why? Right? Why do we believe that this should be an intentional focus of ours? And I want to address the why question under a couple of different headings. First, I want to address it under understanding the biblical pattern of the New Testament. The Bible is probably a good place to start when you're asking why about anything. So let's start, what does the Bible say about disciple making and church planting? But even then, on top of the biblical pattern that we see in the New Testament, I want to address the why question by giving some strategic reasons behind church planting. But let's begin with the Bible. And I want to go back to the Great Commission text that we find at the end of Matthew's Gospel in Matthew chapter 28. This is a text that we have talked about a few times throughout this Life on Mission series. Let's go back there. Let me just kind of reread it for you. Verses 19 and 20 of Matthew 28. Jesus looked at his disciples. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, we have seen already, as we've kind of considered this text, that making disciples is not the same thing as merely making converts, right? That to be sure, disciple making begins with conversion. It begins by going to an unbeliever with the gospel and leading them to initially place their faith in Jesus Christ. But the disciple making assignment also includes church connecting, right? Church connecting. He says, baptizing these new disciples into a church wherein they can grow and learn to observe everything that Jesus commanded, all right? So church gathering disciples and establishing a local body called a church, it is a result of the disciple-making assignment that we've been given. A part of disciple making is gathering and establishing, not just converting. And so we see this pattern that Jesus introduces in the Great Commission. We see this pattern fleshed out all through the book of Acts. This pattern of evangelism that leads to conversion, and then these new converts being gathered into churches that are established within a particular region, being a gospel witness within that city and within that community. And we particularly see this pattern in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. Paul had a pretty standard pattern that he would operate by as he would go into these regions, having been himself sent out from the church in Antioch. He would go into a city and he would lead some people to Christ, proclaiming the gospel. Some would believe. He would lead some to Christ. He would gather those disciples. He would actually establish elders over those disciples in order to plant a church within that community. You see a great example of this in Acts chapter 14. In Acts chapter 14. See, this is Paul's first missionary journey. And he had been traveling through several cities, including Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, leading people to Christ in each one of those cities. But he didn't just lead them to Christ and then, you know, exit and leave. He actually was careful to strengthen those disciples and gather those disciples into churches. And so he says in verse 21 of chapter 14, it says, after they had preached the gospel in that town and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch, strengthening the disciples by encouraging them to continue in the faith and by telling them it is necessary to go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Verse 23, and when they had appointed elders for them in every church, and prayed with fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Okay, so these were cities that before Paul arrived did not have a church present within them. But when Paul made disciples within a city, he gathered those disciples and established churches. And this is a pattern that we see repeated all through the book of Acts. Disciple making that results in church planting. In fact, so many of the epistles that Paul wrote throughout the New Testament are letters written to these churches that he planted and established in places like Corinth and Ephesus, right? Remember what Jesus said, another one of the Great Commission texts in John's Gospel. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Okay, so church family, sending is hardwired into the people of God. Our God is a sending God. He sent his Son into our darkness so that we might enjoy his salvation. And as the people of the sending God, the church of Jesus Christ is inherently to be a sending people. And who do we send? We don't just send those who make converts. We send those who make disciples. An assignment that includes gathering disciples and establishing churches wherein those disciples can learn to observe everything Jesus commanded. What I'm trying to show you here, guys, is that church planting is not just an idea that we came up with. Right, this is God's idea. This is God's plan. This isn't like the latest and greatest new fad in missional strategy that's vogue and trendy. This is the biblical pattern that we see that God has established. Making disciples, gathering disciples, establishing little gospel witnesses in various regions called churches. It's the biblical pattern given to us by God. Now, you still may be wondering, yeah, but that was back then, right? That was back then when there weren't enough churches around already. Aren't there enough churches around now? Like, why should we still, when there are so many churches, at least within our context here in the American South, why should we still be focused on church planting? And that's a fair and valid question. And so I want to, in addition to the kind of biblical pattern that we've laid out here, I want to give you four strategic reasons why church planting is an opportunity that we need to consider and lean into as a church family, all right? The first reason is this. Number one, new churches, all right, new churches that are planted better reach unchurched people, period. New churches better reach unchurched people. Let me say this. If our aim as a church is simply to see transfer growth, growth as a result of Christians kind of bouncing around and moving from one church to another. If that's all we're after, then church planting is not something that we really need to consider at all. But if our aim is genuinely to reach lost people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, then church planting is a strategic opportunity for us. Let me give you some data. A number of denominational studies have demonstrated that new church plants gain most of their members somewhere between 60 to 80% of growth in new church plants comes as a result of unchurched people being reached and brought into the body. 60 to 80% of growth by the unreached. Now you compare that to established churches. Churches that are at least 10 to 15 years of age, they grow 80 to 90%. 80 to 90% of established church growth is the result of Christians transferring from one church to another. Transfer growth. Okay. That means that new church plants will reach somewhere between 6 to 8 times more unchurched people on average than established churches. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. Some of those reasons are positive. Some of those reasons are negative. Some of those reasons are just sociological kind of group dynamic realities. When a church hits a certain age, there are certain cultures that are developed within the church that just make it more difficult to reach unchurched. There's a lot of reasons for that. And let me just say this. The conclusion from that reality is not that we need to just give up on evangelism, right? That's not what we're saying at all. That, hey, listen, as an established church, we're probably not going to reach that many lost people, so let's just wave the white flag. No, we have to continue to stay focused on our Jerusalem assignment to engage outsiders with the gospel. And the Spirit of God can, you know what the Spirit thinks about stats. Like the Spirit can look at those stats and say, forget those stats. I'm gonna do something incredible through your church. And so we're still pursuing outsiders as a body here at MacArthur Boulevard. A better conclusion from those realities is to recognize that one way that we can strategically be more effective in engaging unchurched people, lost people, is by being more strategically focused on being a church that actually is planting and establishing new churches that can reach their Jerusalem with the gospel of Jesus Christ. New churches, it's the reality, better reach unchurched people. Second reason is this. Number two, planting new churches multiplies our kingdom impact. Planting new churches multiplies our kingdom impact. It's the concept that multiplication beats addition every time. And we're talking about multiplication in this context. We're talking about multiplying churches rather than just solely being focused on adding people to a single church. I mean, maybe got a math quiz in sixth grade or middle school where your math teacher got in front of the class and she gave the class an option. She said, class, two options that you have to choose from. Option A, you can receive $10,000 every day for 30 days. That's option A. $10,000 a day, we'll add that to your account every day, 30 days. That sounds pretty good, right? Option B, you can receive 1 cent doubled daily for 30 days. And you're thinking to yourself, well, that math is hard. The addition math is actually pretty easy. And if you're anything like most sixth graders, I want option A, right? Like, that's $300,000 by the end of the month, $10,000 a day, 30 days. And if you chose option A, you would be leaving over $10 million on the table. It's the power of multiplication. And yet so many churches are still pursuing success through the $10,000 a day model, growing only by adding more people each year. Now listen, we're not against adding people, all right? We want to add people. We pray that God would add to our numbers daily those who are being saved. Like, we're not anti-addition. But our ability to impact the kingdom of God grows exponentially when multiplying ourselves by planting new churches in new regions. So over the course of the next 5 years, we plant 3 churches in 3 new places that are reaching their Jerusalem with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then in 10 years, 2 of those churches multiply and they plant even new churches in new regions. And over the course of 20 years, you recognize the impact that we can have on the kingdom of God when we focus not just on reaching and adding, but we focus on sending and multiplying. Now, it's not going to result likely in like massive, you know, facilities and megachurch stuff. And it's not that God can't do that, and he can do that. And if he does that, praise God. But you're not getting into church planting in order to increase your brand. You're getting into church planting because you recognize the kingdom impact that you can make by being a church that takes some of their best leaders and givers and people and sends them out to start new churches and new regions because you recognize the impact that that can have on the kingdom of God. Planting new churches multiplies our kingdom impact. I'm going to give you reasons number 3 and 4 real quick here. Number 3, new churches are needed simply to keep up with the population growth that we're seeing in America and frankly around the world. This idea that there are already enough churches out there is simply false. It's a misnomer. And give you some data. In the year 1900, there were 28 churches for every 10,000 Americans. 28 churches for every 10,000 Americans. By 2004, that number, that ratio had dropped all the way down to 11 churches for every 10,000 Americans. And that is, by the way, a ratio that continues on a downward trajectory every single year. Studies have demonstrated that we need to at least double the rate at which we are planting churches in America simply to keep up with the population growth that we're experiencing. This is particularly the case in urban areas, in urban districts like the DFW Metroplex. Did you know, get this, in 1950, 64% of the American population lived in urban centers. Currently, that number is up to 81%. 81% of the American population lives in urban areas. Urbanization continues to explode, giving churches an opportunity and creating a need for new churches to be planted. We're simply not planting enough churches to keep up with that rate of population growth. In America, and particularly in urban areas. And then finally, number 4, planting churches renews the evangelistic fervor of the mother church, the sending church. You think about it, a church that becomes more outwardly focused on sending in order to reach the lost is much more likely to have members and community groups that are more outwardly focused on reaching the lost in their own community. They've also, there's this idea that, man, if we're planting churches into a city, it's going to somehow hinder the existing churches that are within that city. But studies have shown actually the opposite is true. Not only does church planting bring an evangelistic renewal within the sending church, but it also brings a renewal within the churches in the city where these new churches are being established. The idea is when the water in a harbor rises, all of the boats in the harbor rise. That when the people of God get focused on the kingdom of God and sending and walking by faith, that God does a spiritual work within them, getting them even more zealous for his kingdom. So planting churches renews the evangelistic fervor of the mother church. As a church family, for all of these reasons, as pastors, we believe that God is calling our church to be more intentionally focused on being a church that plants new churches as a central part of our missional strategy as a church family here at MacArthur Boulevard. Now, I know you probably have thousands of questions about, you know, what is this going to look like, and when are you thinking about doing this, and what's the impact going to be, and is this sustainable? And I want you to know, my goal this morning was simply to introduce a thought and a conversation on what it is we're talking about and why we're talking about it. That these are conversations that we want to continue with you. And as we move into the beginning of 2022, we're going to be providing a number of different venues for us to come together as church family and to talk about church planting. And what does this mean? And what does this look like? And answering questions and understanding the impact and all of those things. Really this morning, all I'm asking from you this morning is that you would begin praying, all right? Devoting this to prayer. Pray in a few ways. Pray that God would give our church a faith that is supernatural. Because I tell you, you get serious about sending and church planting as a local body, man, that's where the rubber hits the road in terms of faith, when, you know, your best leaders, your best people, your most generous givers say, I feel like God's actually calling me to go and to establish, be a part of this new work. And we just trust, listen, you can't outgive God, you can't outsend God, but it's going to require faith. So pray that God would give us a faith in his character and his promises. Pray that God would give us a kingdom ambition. Like I said, this is something that if you don't have an ambition, if we don't have an ambition for the kingdom of God, it's hard to get excited about sending and planting. So God, pray that God would bring our hearts into alignment with his heart, a heart that beats for the kingdom of God, not just our name, not just our resources and what we can hold on to here. Pray for direction, that God would give us direction by his Spirit, not only in who he is raising up and where we should go and the direction we should go, but also the timing of all of this, that we would stay in step with the Spirit as he leads us in this way. And then begin praying even now about the role that God might have for you to play in this. And just in the days ahead, that you would just devote this to prayer. God, I don't know what any of this looks like. This may be the first time you have ever heard a message on church planting. And that's okay. God, I don't understand all of this. What role do you have for me to play? And let's devote these things to prayer. I want you to know, church family, God is blessed MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church with so many seeds of blessing. He has given us so much. He has been so good to us as a people over the years. We can either take those blessings and we can hold on to them with a closed fist, our people, our resources, our leaders. We're going to keep them for ourselves. We're going to consume them for ourselves. Or we can hold those seeds of blessing with an open hand, planting them into fields that are white unto harvest as the Spirit leads and directs, and just see what type of harvest God might be pleased to provide. Planting can be frightening because it requires you to release control of the seed. And yet a harvest will only come after you plant. I'll close this morning in the year 1953. In 1953, there was a church, some of you will recognize the name of this church. It was located in Dallas. It was called Field City Baptist Church. And Field City Baptist Church made the decision in 1953 to plant some of the seeds that God had given them. At that time, in the early 50s, Irving was considered the fastest growing city in the entire country. And Field City had a vision for this field out here in Irving that was white unto harvest. And so it began as a vacation Bible school. Field City in 1953 conducted this VBS in an old beer tavern of all places. And this work became a a little mission church that over the course of 3 years doubled in size. And in 1957, this little planting effort was officially established and constituted as Carpenter Road Baptist Church. It was located on Carpenter Road. Now, a few years later in 1963, because the name of the road changed, the church decided we need to change our name to align with the name of the road that we're located on. And so in 1963, this little church came to be known as MacArthur Boulevard Baptist Church. This church, our church, exists today because Field City Baptist Church chose to be open-handed with the blessings that God had given her. And they released those seeds and they planted them into the field of God's kingdom. And our heart is to carry on this legacy that literally runs in our blood. God grows his kingdom only as we take our hands off of the little portion that he has given us and we plant it for the sake of the harvest.